This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL broadcast partners, and Bauer Hockey. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. Ahead, details have now been finalized for the upcoming WHL U.S. Challenge Cup and draft. WHL Commissioner Ron Robison will preview the event set for next weekend in Seattle. Red Deer Rebels coach Brent Sutter recently hit another coaching milestone. The veteran coach says it's not all about having an elite team year in, year out. It's about having an elite franchise. More on that. And Portland Winterhawks D-man Johnny Ludwig continues to beat the odds. He's the WHL On the Run Player of the Week. He'll close out the show. First up, the inaugural WHL U.S. Challenge Cup presented by NHL Seattle and Vizin Kent is all set here for next weekend in those two cities here. We get set. We have WHL Commissioner Ron Robison on the line to tell us more about what's going on here. First of all, Ron, thanks for being our guest. And second of all, this event, I think, has been a long time in the making. Tell us why the WHL felt the need to hold a U.S. Prospects Cup here in these two facilities.
Well, we've always been very active in identifying U.S. talent. We respect the fact that there's many U.S. players who have a real desire to play in the Western Hockey League, and we've been conducting a U.S. prospects camp in Anaheim for 12 years, and we just felt that one of the missing aspects of that particular camp in Anaheim was the fact that the players and their parents never got an opportunity to see a game live in a Western Hockey League center. So what a better way to do that than to put our U.S. Challenge Cup into one of our venues in Seattle and Kent, and to give them the opportunity to see a rival game between the Portland Winterhawks and Seattle Thunderbirds on Saturday night, and to experience our facilities and our programs. And I think that's a great way to do it, by hosting an event like this in Kent, Washington.
There's teams from both sides of the border competing at this event. Tell us more about the format there.
Yes, we have a 12-team tournament. It'll be a round-robin tournament, complete with a championship game. We have seven teams from the United States, and we have five teams from Canada. Those five teams are BC-based teams, with three from the academies and two from the Bantam League in BC. And then seven of the top Bantam teams in the U.S., including teams from Dallas, Los Angeles, Phoenix, San Diego, San Jose, and Team Alaska as well, along with a local team from Seattle.
Obviously, the WHL will be well represented as far as their teams here. I'm sure you're expecting all 22 teams to have some sort of representation here to scout.
Yes, they'll all be in attendance, all 22 teams. We're very fortunate to have this opportunity to host an event like this. It gives a player, not only our teams, an opportunity to see the top players in advance of our upcoming draft, but also the fact that we're fortunate that we've had the support from NHL Seattle and Vizin Kent to allow this event to take place in Seattle. And, of course, the support from the Seattle Thunderbirds has been tremendous as well to make their facilities and help us showcase this event to the extent we'd like.
Now, it's a U.S. prospects draft that will also we'll have the draft in March here. But, you know, we're not just talking Washington State, it's Alaska all the way to Arizona and over to Wyoming, you name it. But the state of Washington itself, when you look at the impact that the Silvertips and the Thunderbirds have had, we're seeing more and more products come out of that state here. Can we expect to see maybe even more down the road here with this this momentum?
Well, I think there's no question, and we've had a strong presence, as you mentioned, within the Pacific Northwest for many years. We've got a great U.S. division. Our team's doing an exceptional job of working with community and growing the game, but now with NHL Seattle entering the market, that's going to create another level of excitement, and consequently, one of the purposes of this particular event is to make sure we grow the game at the grassroots level in the Pacific Northwest, and in partnership with NHL Seattle and the support from Vizin Kent, we're in a position to do that.
Now, this event, we talk about the draft. It'll come up in March here, and all 22 teams will have a shot at drafting U.S.-born players from this Challenge Cup here. And we have some news here to pass along our way. It sounds like the WHL determined the selection process, the order of selection for the draft.
Yes, we felt as a result of our efforts in the U.S. that we needed to have a dedicated draft for U.S. prospects. So we will have a U.S. prospects draft on Wednesday, March 25th. It will be a two-round draft, not unlike our normal WHL Bantam draft, and we'll be eligible solely for U.S. players. And as a result of the fact that we're having a draft, this particular tournament in Seattle becomes extremely important as far as identifying players and in preparation for the draft on Wednesday, March 25th. As a result of the process we went through, the Red Deer Rebels will have the first selection in the 2020 WHL U.S. Prospect Draft, They will have the first round selection, and there is, again, just two rounds, and will work in reverse order, and so they will have the last selection in the second round, but it will work in that particular order, and we're looking forward to giving the teams, again, the opportunity to identify those prospects, which they've been doing throughout the course of the season, as well as at the U.S. Challenge Cup.
All right, so Red Deer 1, Tri-City 2, Edmonton Oil Kings 3, Everett Silvertips at number 4, Prince Albert at number 5, the complete list at WHL.ca. The players that aren't selected in this draft, though, eligible again for the 2020 WHL Bantam draft in May?
That's right. Any players who were not selected under the U.S. draft in our two rounds in this particular draft in March will also be eligible for our regular WHL Bantam draft, which will take place in May.
All right, it's the inaugural WHL U.S. Challenge Cup presented by NHL Seattle and Visit Kent, and that comes up here first this weekend here. Ron, thanks for taking some time here to break down the event here for us.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
Red Deer Rebels head coach, GM, and governor Brent Sutter was behind the Rebels bench for the 1,000th time earlier this week in a road game in Vancouver. Voice of the Rebels, Cam Moon, took a stroll down memory lane.
When you think back to 1999, when your first game coaching this, did you think you'd be sitting here many years later with 1,000 under your belt?
No, I didn't. But, you know, it's time has flown by. You know, it's gone by quickly, to be quite honest, and I never even thought of it today until you mentioned it to me, and it was, it was almost like, really, it's, but you know what, it's just as I've been here a long time, I've coached a lot of games, and there's certainly been some good times and some not as good times.
Well, when you look back at it and you look at the good times, Memorial Cup Championship in 2001, three straight trips to the WHL Final, 01, 02, 03, and in 04 it went to the Eastern Conference Final. What are some of the highlights when you look back on 1,000 games?
Well, you know, the biggest one for me is, you know, each year you know your drive is to get the most you can out of your team and play as well as you can with the group that you have, and at the end of the day it's about the players, right? It's giving them a chance to grow as just not hockey players but as people, and you know, I look back at those times probably more than anything, and yeah, the winning part is awesome, right? There's nothing, because we all love to win, and but you learn sometimes as much from individuals, and individuals learn as much from themselves through the tough times, through in the adversity times, and you know, and we've certainly had a little bit of both on those, both on the good and bad, but you know, it's just the way teams grow throughout the year and the way they develop. You know, look at this year's team, we youngest team I've ever coached, and you know, and the steps we've taken this year has been substantial, and yet where, you know, you have a vision where you hope you're going to be a year or two from now, and you just hope it gets there, right? And you just keep working at it and pushing through it, and so, you know, I think every year it's different, and but you know, obviously those first few years, I remember when I bought the team in 99 and I got crucified for saying this. I said that we were going to win a Memorial Cup within 3 years, and in a press conference when I purchased a team, or when our family purchased a team, and I was like, oh boy, the heat's on now, and you know what, we won it in the second year, and obviously those next 3 years after were, you know, were pretty good rides, you know. We just haven't been able to get back to that, but we have to continue to push and move forward. And it's a lot harder now, obviously, just with as many teams as there are. And it's a lot harder to do things in your league than you used to be able to, as far as trades and building your team. So it's a little bit different now, certainly. But those years, those first years of winning like we did, was really kind of kick-started everything. And I think just from an organizational point of view, how our organization has grown over the years, and you know, the process of all that to become an elite franchise, not always going to be an elite team, but an elite franchise where you're looked up to across the hockey circles, and the amount of players that get drafted, the amount of players that go to CIS and go to really top schools. At the end of the day, that's, it's all about the players, right? But you continue to push forward with that and continue to make sure that you know, you're trying to do things right year by year.
Well, Brent, good to sit down with you. Congrats on the 1,000 games, and thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks, Munir.
This is the WHL This Week, presented by Bauer Hockey.
Former WHL goaltender Taryn Kozin headed to the Canada West playoffs on a roll. The Saskatchewan Huskies netminder announced as the WHL Graduate of the Month for January after going 6-1. He followed that up with two more wins in February as Saskatchewan enters the playoffs having won 11 straight games. Kozin played his WHL hockey with the Seattle Thunderbirds and Kamloops Blazers. He was recently a guest on WHL This Week, talking about playing hockey at the University of Saskatchewan while using his WHL education scholarship.
We got a brand new facility here in Saskatchewan, Merlis Belcher Place. It's we're the best rink in the league. Can't complain about it at all. We got a great fan base here, and it's a blast playing for everybody. And then coming from a scholarship from the WHL to help and be able to play hockey on top of it, it's just a huge honor.
Overall, Kozin finished the regular season with a league-best .931 save percentage and 1.87 goals against average. Kozin and the Huskies are off this weekend after earning a first-round bye thanks to their second-place finish during the Canada West regular season.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
The Portland Winterhawks continue to lead the U.S. division and along the way racking up the personal accolades. Captain Johnny Ludvig is the WHL On the Run Player of the Week. Voice of the Hawks' Nick Merrick has more.
Thanks, John. Winterhawks captain Johnny Ludvig joins us as the WHL On the Run Player of the Week. Johnny, what a week it was for you. 9 points in three games for the Hawks, the first place team in the U.S. division. Just how well did the Winterhawks perform this week?
Yeah, we had a good week for sure. I mean, we weren't too happy with our first game against Spokane, but I think we picked our game up going into Kelowna, and we had a good weekend there.
Is it nice, too, on the defensive side when you see points? Because I know you've been a typical shutdown kind of guy. You block shots. You're huge in the penalty kill. Now we're seeing the power play numbers pick up as well, leading the team in power play goals on the defensive front. And a 9-point week, it's got to feel a little confidence booster for you, is it not?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it's always nice to get the points, but you know, the guys have been making it easy on me out there, finding me, making good plays, so credit to them.
What's the biggest thing, too, from the start of the season? You and Matt Quigley have been a pair that's been consistent really since training camp. Is it nice on the defensive front that everybody, all the lines and pairings, kind of have that comfortability going into the later half of the season?
Yeah, it's good when you get a D pairing or a line that's going well together and you get to stick with them for most of the year. It's really easy to build chemistry, and we got a good group of guys in there.
Let's take us to the change for Johnny Ludvig. What was the biggest adjustment for you this season and kind of taking a more offensive role in particular with this team?
Yeah, I've always been known as a defensive, stay-at-home, physical guy, so I kind of wanted to round out my game this year, and I focused on that big time in the offseason, so the points are coming, and it's a credit to my teammates, but it's been a good year so far.
Do you feel like you were able to really grow on rounding out your game, as you just kind of mentioned?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I have that offensive side in me, and it was just a matter of showing it this year.
From the scoring race perspective, Western Conference D-men, you're one of the top on the list there in both goals and points. Is that something you're trying to maybe kind of chase as well and see if you can kind of add another a trophy to the case, if you will?
To be honest, for me, it doesn't really matter the scoring race to me. I just want to win that Memorial Cup, and that's the only thing that's been on my mind this year.
Well, since you mentioned that, the Winterhawks were the first team in the WHL to clinch a spot in the playoffs. They're playing phenomenal right now. Being a captain of this team, how have you seen this year's team kind of progress further than last year's team did?
Yeah, well, last year we didn't quite get the result we wanted, but this year we have a really strong group of guys, and it's like a family in there, so it's really easy to play with everyone, and yeah, we're having fun this year.
This stretch run, there's a lot of games against the U.S. division teams as well. Potential playoff matchups may be sprinkled in there for down the road. How important is it to play really competitive hockey in February and March to kind of prepare this team and go on a potential Memorial Cup run if the cards align?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, every game right now, we have a really young team, so every game down the stretch here is a learning experience for us, and we want to take everything we can from this last stretch here and use it for playoffs.
And then to push you a little forward as well, a prospect of the Florida Panthers, drafted third round last year. You mentioned you have a more well-rounded game. Are you kind of using this year as well a potential to say, hey, I can make the jump to pro hockey if I need to next year?
Definitely. I mean, I want to make it pro, and next year would be the goal, but I'm just trying to do everything I can right now to help this team win, and just working hard every day trying to improve my game.
Final thought for you, Johnny. For this team to really hit its stride come March and take off where you guys can be that champion performers in the playoffs and make it into the second round, try to make it into the Western Conference Finals, what does this team have to do?
I think we have to improve our game defensively still a little bit. I mean, we know we can score goals. We're one of the highest scoring teams in the league right now, so that part comes easy for us. But if we can really sort of lock up our defensive end going into playoffs there, then I think we'll be a very hard team to beat.
That was Winterhawks defenseman Johnny Ludwig, the WHL On the Run Player of the Week. Back to you, John.
Hey, that's the show. Big thanks to Cam and Red Deer, Nick in Portland. Thanks, guys. I'm Sean Key.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL broadcast partners and Bauer Hockey.